Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news podcast. So today we'll start by talking about FlatHub, and it looks like FlatHub and Flatpak in general is in a pretty healthy state. There's a statistics page on the FlatHub website on which they report more than 2 billion downloads in total for 2,600 desktop applications since the end of April 2018. Obviously, if you compare that to any major app store for any other operating system, it is just really small potatoes. But for Linux, I think it's pretty huge. And the geographical repartition of downloads is, as you would expect, bigger countries with more population are downloading way more than smaller countries with smaller populations. But the evolution of the downloads over time also paints a pretty clear picture. This is a format that is rapidly growing and being adopted. Year over year, the growth is pretty major. Surprisingly, in terms of the download categories, the games category is where you see the most downloads. So I would assume this is for the Steam Flatpak and, I don't know, maybe other tools like Bottles or I don't know, Heroic Games Launcher, stuff like that. Then it's the utilities, which also makes sense because small one-task apps seem to just be published as Flatpaks nowadays on FlatHub. It is much easier than setting up a PPA or trying to get into Ubuntu's or Fedora's repos, and it's also probably a category that includes a lot of applications that don't necessarily fit into other categories, so it's no surprise here. As per the runtimes, it clearly shows that it's a lot of GNOME users and a lot less of KDE users, which either means GNOME is a more popular desktop environment overall, or it means that people who use KDE tend to not like or not use Flatpak as much as GNOME users. This would make sense. GNOME is generally more geared towards people who want a unified and controlled experience based on the latest Linux stack, so probably Wayland and Flatpak, where KDE is generally more geared towards people who like to tinker, to customize, who are more likely to avoid Flatpak to be able to theme and tweak their applications way more easily. At any rate, it's good to see the format taking off like that. It is definitely not a perfect format, Flatpak still has issues, but in my opinion, it is the best path forward to have more applications, more developers supporting Linux, a safer experience, and also updates coming regularly without needing a middleman to package them and decide when you'll actually get those new features. Personally, I really like Flatpak, you all know that if you follow me here, and I think that the more people use it, the more people download stuff off of FlatHub, the faster the remaining problems will be fixed. And our second topic will be about OpenAI. They are working on what they call the Media Manager. It's a tool which creators and artists and writers and basically anyone who creates something that OpenAI could use to train their tool, anyone could use this tool, this Media Manager, to prevent OpenAI to use their work in training. And on paper, it is a good idea. If you don't want your stuff to be used for someone else's profit or by OpenAI, you'll be able to tell them, no, this is mine, you don't use it. I think it's a good thing. I think it should have been implemented since the very beginning of this tool. But a lot of people are mocking OpenAI for this effort, pointing out that first, it comes way too late. It is in development, it shouldn't come before 2025, and basically OpenAI has already pilfered the entire internet without consent, and the Media Manager tool is sort of an admission that they knew creators should have a say in this. Second, people also say that it puts the burden on creators to protect their work. It's basically an opt-out, where it should always, arguably, have been an opt-in, saying, yes, I'm okay with you using my stuff, or just read the license and know what you can do. Now, of course, there's always the usual opinion or defense from these companies floating around, saying that it would be impossible for them to keep building AI tools if they had to gather consent or to sign licensing deals with every copyright holder and creator before they even started. To which I say, tough luck, please shut up. If you can't build your tool without using other people's work and without consent, basically if your tool cannot work without stealing stuff, then probably your tool shouldn't be built at all. And also, it is pretty much a lie because OpenAI themselves has already entered into licensing deals with a bunch of publishers. So, the stance is basically, my new thing is so important that everyone should shut up and let me make money off of their work. That's quite unacceptable and also unproven. On top of that, there's also some reports that AI companies don't really care about that consent because they have been proven to completely ignore the robots.txt files that websites use to stop being crawled and indexed by search engines. Of course, these files don't really have any legal basis. There's no law that says, hey, you have to follow what's written in the robots.txt file. It's just been a convention that has generally been followed by most well-intentioned web actors. Generally, the only things that ignore these robots.txt files are ill-intentioned crawlers and bots and things like that. It's not really that AI companies are illegally ignoring these files because there's no legal basis in that. It's just that these companies just don't follow any of the guidelines and ethical practices that have been followed for decades. Of course, this reporting about the robots.txt file was made by a company trying to match publishers with AI companies to license their content. So it should be taken with a grain of salt because it is in their best interest to really make people afraid of AI companies. So they are going to be willing to strike deals with them or to make AI companies feel like the world is turning around against them and so they have to strike deals as well. So yeah, take this with a grain of salt. But judging from the past behaviors of AI companies and how they treated copyright, how they treated licenses, how they treated user complaints, I wouldn't be surprised if they completely ignored any roadblock that people put in place. The only way for people to avoid being seen, being crawled, and being scraped, it's basically to tell Google and other search engines to not index you at all and to not appear in any search result. Which obviously is not a solution for anyone making content online. The premise of if it's available on a search engine for a human to read, it should be available for an AI to train itself on is kind of weird, in my opinion. Those are not the same things. On the one hand, you've got a human reading the thing and maybe taking inspiration to create their own thing. On the other hand, you've got a giant company training on billions and billions of pages and videos every hour. It's not the same scale, it's not the same goal. The human is probably not going to make immediate money by just reading your content and just maybe emulating it or being inspired by it. The AI company is directly profiting from someone else's work. So it's not a solution to assume that just because you want to be visible on the internet, you're also okay with your work being used by another giant company. And just to finish off on this topic, I know I must sound like I'm anti-AI tools and that I don't like those things, and honestly, it's not really the case. I just don't like how the companies, the current big companies building AI tools, are doing it. I think AI has a lot of potential. As I often say, if you give me in DaVinci Resolve a one-click button that automatically removes the double takes that I make, automatically removes all the silences, and compacts my video so I don't have to waste 30 to 35 minutes re-editing something just to have the baseline of my video, I would be really, really happy with that. I already use one of the AI features in DaVinci Resolve to automatically generate transcripts and subtitles for the audio podcast that I make every week. I think those technologies are really nice and they have really good potential. But if you build them on such shaky foundations where you're basically seen as a thief, I think you're alienating a lot of people in the process, you're removing a lot of credibility in your technology, and you're basically harming your cause in a lot of circles. So I think it would be better for everyone if these companies just acknowledge that they moved too fast without really gathering any consent, and they should just take a step back and just realize that it would probably help them grow faster and be adopted faster if they actually respected people's wishes and creators and the people whose work they've been using. So, this will conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. As always, let's talk about this in the comments, and thank you all for following and supporting what I do. I guess you will see me, and hear me probably more likely, in the next one tomorrow. Bye!